listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl with Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer, has been joining me all show long. I get to bring in our esteemed producer, Jason Gibbs, as we're going to talk about our top five things that Andrew and I are looking forward to in minicamp next couple days.
Number five.
This is kind of a maybe an inside baseball type thing, but you know, Mike Pettine said Thursday that they're done installing offense for the rest of training camp. So this is going to be a rehash of what they've been doing. So I guess I'm looking for this offense to kind of step it up a level and maybe start completing things, make things more efficient on the field, because you know, we understood the defense is ahead of the offense at this stage, but I think if they're going over stuff they've already done, I think they'll be more comfortable and more capable of making plays.
Number five for me, which is something I want to see but of least importance of my top five, I want to see Danny Shelton out there again. That's one. And then the second half of my number five thing that I want to see is I want to see who and including Danny Shelton, where they're at and what type of rotation they're going to have on the defensive line. As we've mentioned, since you know we knew there was a void in the middle and we drafted Danny Shelton, Xavier Cooper, we're very talented. We're very deep. Some are going to make the team. Some are not. And I think this training camp and the way in which that depth chart starts in training camp is going to be a telltale as to who makes the club and who doesn't.
Number four.
I'm looking for Andy Lee to keep impressing me with his massive leg. You know, I think Thursday we got a good indication of it, and he had to be back on a different field punting it to the returners because he was getting about 65, 70 yards on pretty much every single one. And I think the more we see of this, the more we realize that this is going to be a regular occurrence throughout the season, and I think that is just going to be so pivotal for a team that's going to be built around defense and built on kind of putting other teams in bad field position.
Number four for me is going to be the newest Brown that just signed his contract, Tashawn Gibson. Just seeing him back on the field, what kind of shape is he in, what kind of legs does he have underneath him, how quickly can he grasp some of that graduate level stuff that they might not have had installed when he was, you know, here participating, finished the season with an injury. Is he fully healthy? All those things are going to be something I'm going to have my eye on.
Number three.
I'm going to stick to special teams and focus on the kicker situation. It's something that Mike Pettine said he's comfortable with because we're not at the real football stage of training camp. Real football's not going to happen this week either because they're not in pads. But, you know, the more exposure we see to how these guys are making kicks, Carey Spear and Travis Coons, the more we might get an idea on if there's any kind of pecking order going into training camp. The practices we've seen, I have not seen maybe one over the other at this point. Maybe over these next 3 days we see someone kind of establish themselves as maybe the front runner going into July.
My number three is going to be the young man out of the University of Miami, Duke Johnson. As you mentioned, the install is over. It is now time for refinement. And I think we're going to refine some of the roles of the individuals on both sides of the ball. But I'm going to have my eye on him to understand exactly how many touches, so we can have a feel of how many touches is this guy going to have in a football game. If I had to put a number on it, I'd love to have him touch the ball 10, 11, 12 times. Maybe, you know, four opportunities through the air, five or six on the ground. That change of pace, and I'd like to see him refined within this offense.
Number two.
Now, I'm going to go play for ratings here and talk about the quarterback situation. Johnny Manziel and Josh McCown. The interesting thing we saw Thursday's OTAs is how many more reps those two guys are getting than the other quarterbacks. It's not getting divided three or four ways. It's getting divided two ways. It looks like those they're riding those guys throughout practice. I think we'll continue to see that. I'd also like to see Johnny Manziel not show as much frustration. I think they show that Mike Pettine said he's getting frustrated out there. He wants to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect in this setting, but if you get more comfortable within the scheme, I think we'll see more consistent play out of Manziel, and I think we're already seeing that consistent play out of McCown, so you want to see more of that.
You're absolutely right, and I'm on the same wavelength as you with number two. I just put on Josh McCown. I want to see Josh McCown run this offense, lead this offense, connect with those wide receivers so they get a strong grasp on exactly what it is. And to your point as well, I do think we continue to see Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel in this mini camp, which is mandatory, get all the reps. There's time, you know, in a first preseason game where Connor Shaw and Thad Lewis are going to get reps simply because you want to keep Johnny and Josh safe. So I want to see Josh McCown continue to evolve as the future quarterback of this football team.
Number one.
This is something that every single NFL team roots for in minicamp, and that is I'm looking forward to seeing no injuries. I think that is the key thing. You want to be as healthy as you can be going into that the off-season portion of the schedule. So I think you just play it conservative with guys that maybe have some minor injuries. You don't push them very much and have this team at full strength going into training camp.
My number one, and it's probably the biggest concern of national analysts and some of the locals, is not necessarily quarterback, because that was my number two in Josh McCown. I want to see exactly what this offense is going to look like. To go back to both of our points, is installation is done. The tinkering now starts. Who are we? What are we going to do? And what roles are these individuals on this roster going to play to help us convert first downs and, more so than anything, score points? Because our defense is going to be lights out. But there's going to be a game where a team's going to have their number, where we're going to be able to, or need to be able to score. I want to see that offense that's going to be able to score 25-plus points like we did early in the season last year.
Yeah. You know, I think the one maybe disadvantage of these kind of settings, too, is a lot of the times we're watching this offense run plays, and it's really kind of hard to tell if a running play is working or not. I guess, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not tackling. You're not seeing guys be able to break tackles, go through that. The play kind of stops pretty early, whereas the passing game, those plays go to their kind of full completion down the field. So I'm wondering if we're going to even get a real sense of this running attack until even the first preseason game.
And we won't. And to go back to a comment that I made at practice to John DeFilippo about all those shifts and motions that he's been doing, and how it makes it very hard on a defense. And if you recall, for you, those of you listening, he goes, "Are you being facetious?" And I said, "No, I'm being serious." And what it really said to me about John DeFilippo when he then walked over again, he goes, "I'm not doing anything just to do it. There's a purpose for all of it, all the shifts and motions, all the moving around." And it's and I believe that with the playmakers that we have on this roster, Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, they're going to be put in a position to succeed, which I think at times last year we didn't have the luxury of those talented bodies, and it was just a makeshift offense. That zone scheme allowed us to cover up some of the inadequacies of the players that were playing the positions that we needed to make big plays.
Yeah, and I think it'll be good. Just you get more time in the offense. There's a lot of smart guys on that offensive side of the ball, a lot of veterans as well. I think you're going to see them feel more and more comfortable with this. And I think that, like you said, I mean, you're going up against a defense that's going to make you look bad when you're messing up. I mean, there's not much margin of error for this offense in practice right now. I think the defense is rolling deeper too. They're rotating a lot of guys on the defensive line, so it's going to be tough. And you're not. It's going to be hard to tell really what this offense has again until you get into a preseason game. Whereas the defense, you can already really see it. You can see this identity has been established, and they're just getting stronger and maybe getting even more confidence in themselves. So I think we're going to be citing this number one maybe concern, just question, as the offense all the way through the preseason.
You're absolutely right. And before we go to break, I just want to make a couple other points about this offense and to kind of compound everything that you just said. This offense is continually up against a wall because of how good and how deep our defense is into their playbook. So from an execution standpoint, you don't really know how good the run game is. You don't really know how are we executing in the pass game, because our defense are a bunch of ball hawks who know everything like the back of their hand, but we're trying to evolve as fast as we can offensively. A few key things that I would see is there's going to be days where the offense, where John DeFilippo is going to have to talk to Jim O'Neill and say, "Hey, dude, I need to see these coverages, and we need some success. I need to see what this looks like versus cover three, versus cover two, versus quarters, versus man in certain situations." So we used to call it scripting for success, where the defense is going to have some balls caught on them. You know, they're not going to be able to make every play. So there's going to be some days for that. I think the practices versus the Bills prior to that preseason game are going to be huge. That way you can gauge where we're at, what's good, what's not, throw some things out again, refine other things. And lastly, as you mentioned, the preseason games. You're playing against someone else. You're going to script a success, but it will be against another defense. They're going to be into the elementary aspect of their playbook early in the preseason games. But eventually, that third game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we're going to get their best shot for a half of football. Mm-hmm. How do we stack up? And that's going to be a huge gauge for us.
Yeah, you know, that's why it'll be – I'm just interested to see if we do see a difference in the offense this week than maybe we did those previous weeks.
And I think we will.
That this might be the week where you do maybe eliminate some of the things you already installed because it isn't working or anything like that, and just kind of refine and hone in on what this team really does well.
Absolutely. Well, this is our last and final break coming up. Andrew Gribble, Matt Wilhelm. We're going to give you our follow-up comments as we prepare for Game 6 tomorrow night here in Cleveland. Tashawn Gibson is now officially a Cleveland Brown. Hopefully they're working out things to make him a Brown for the years to come. On ESPN 850, WKNR, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Forward. Yeah, baby, by the way.